I'm just going to take you through the oath or affirmation, because we have to be sworn in. The only thing that I don't have to do is to explain in terms of the powers and privileges that you will be having immunity as a witness, but you as a member of parliament, you enjoy that privilege. So we're just going to go straight to the swearing-in, because we have to do it before you give testimony. Do you have an objection to taking the oath or making an affirmation?
No, Chair
Session,
I can make an oath.
Okay, the oath. All right, I'm going to ask you to raise your right hand, stand up, and repeat after me. I swear that the testimony or evidence I'm going to give is going to be the truth and only the truth, so help me God.
So help me God.
Repeat after me on the house chair.
Oh, I swear that the testimony or evidence I'm going to give is the truth and only the truth, so help me God.
Thank you very much. Okay, the witness has been sworn in. I'm going to hand over to Advocate Mayusi and take the witness through.
Thank you, Chair. Will you state your full name for the record, please?
Martha La Grace Burojo.
Thank you. And what is your position here in Parliament?
I'm a new House Chairperson for Eternal Matters.
Are you House Chairperson for?
Eternal Matters.
Eternal Matters. And what does that position entail? What functions do you perform as House Chairperson for Internal Matters?
Actually, it's a position where all the issues of members, if the member supports office, all issues of members are dealt with through my office. At the same time, I'm also assisting the speaker in the house or the chairman of the house.
And for how long have you been house chairperson for Internal Matters?
I can't remember. From 2014, but I don't know how many years. How many is it? 6 years, yes.
Obviously, you're a member of parliament. How long have you been a member of parliament for?
From 2009, which makes it 11. Yes.
Alright. So as you are aware, this committee is investigating allegations of contempt of Parliament that arise from an incident that happened on the 11th of July, 2019, in a mini plenary that you were presiding over. You're aware of that, right?
Yes, I am.
And that the incident then resulted in some members being removed from the chamber, this very chamber, actually. Do you recall that?
I vividly do.
So after the incident, you wrote a report to the speaker, is that correct?
Yes, I did.
Can we go to, you do have a copy of the bundle, page 197 of the bundle.
197. I am there.
Is that the report that you wrote to the speaker?
Correctly so.
And what is the purpose of this report?
The purpose of this report was actually to follow the rules of parliament. Where such an incident happens, I have to write a report to the speaker so that the report report can be given to the subcommittee on my recommendations that I make. The subcommittee of rules, the speaker should refer that to the subcommittee of rules that have got to call on the recommendation and deal with it, and that is what they have recommended since we are here today.
Alright. If we go to the first paragraph of the report, in the introduction, on page 197, you'll see in the background section, you were just stating the background that the incident happened on the 11th of July, when repeated points of order were raised by, as you say, members of the EFF, and then you continue, the first member to raise a point of order was Honourable N.S. Macias, did you see that?
Yes, I do.
But before I take you to the Hansard, which actually sort of was a contemporaneous record of what happened, before I do that, can I just confirm, do you prepare the report and you stand by the contents of your report, is that right?
I do.
Okay. So let's go then to the Hansard transcript of the proceedings of the day.
Remind me of the page.
They begin on page 5. Do you see that's where the transcript begins, proceedings of the mini plenary session?
Yes.
But where I want to take you really is page 6. Where it says, Mr. Macias, the House Chair, that is when he rose for the first time, is that right?
Yes.
And then, whilst still on that same page, there were some interjections. At the end of that page, Mr. Paulson was also asking for your attention. Do you see that?
Yes, I do.
But Mr. Macias really began to express his point of order on page 7, where he says, Madam Chair, may I repeat myself, and so on and so on. Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
All right. And then the next entry is you, after he has spoken, after his paragraph, where you say, Honourable Member, what is your point of order? I don't need a speech.
I can see that.
Why did you ask him what his point of order was?
Because the rules that he stood up on, he said 78 and 79. And the rule 78 at this point, it doesn't apply because that is when I asked a member to stand and speak and be allowed to speak whenever we have anything in the house. Why I allowed him to continue is because on rule 79, there is an issue of point of order or point of privilege. That is why I allowed him to speak. So I thought he was going to speak on that. Because specifically, when you ask a point of order, it is on Rule 92. Just to, then the subsections will tell you what is a point of order. But I allowed it because there was an inclusion of Rule 79, which also allows. So when he continued to speak, unfortunately, it was something different from what the rules prescribe. That's why I said it's not a point of order.
Okay. But you haven't said that yet at this point on page 7. You sort of asked him, oh, what is your point of order?
Yes.
You've told him you don't need a speech.
Okay.
So he then continues in response to your question. Over the page onto page 8, which is where he begins to say that we have an obligation to protect Chapter 9 institutions, particularly of the Office of the Public Protector, to which you say in response, Honourable Member, that is a point of debate, not a point of order. Do you see that?
Yes.
Was that your ruling on the issue?
Yes, it was a ruling.
Did Mr. Macias accept your ruling as final and binding at that stage?
No, he continued to say what he wanted to say.
He in fact carried on with his point as if you hadn't spoken.
Yes.
As we see on the transcript from page 8, he carried on to respect the remedial action. In his failure to do so, he rendered himself a constitutional delinquent over the page. But still, before we go over the page, on page 8 still, when he was continuing, somewhere in the middle of page 8, you say, Honorable Matthias, I'm not going to listen to you anymore because that is not a point of order.
Yes.
Well, you were ruling again for the second time on the same point.
Yes. Because after my first ruling, he continued with what he wanted to say, which was not a point of order.
And what did he do after your second ruling?
He continued to speak.
But we can see on this record that you were trying to interject in between. As he continued. Have you had an opportunity to look at the video footage recently?
Not much, but I did look at it, although not intensely as it.
So we viewed, the committee and ourselves, we viewed the footage yesterday, and from what we could see, in many points it appeared as if you and he were speaking at the same time, that he was attempting to speak over you and you were attempting to stop him. Is that an accurate description of what was happening sometimes?
It was, because my aim was to stop him from speaking as I had already given a ruling. But he didn't listen to me. That's why there was this. Because if I had kept quiet and left him to continue and not interject, it means I'm allowing him. So I made my ruling already.
Right. So page 8, it carries on between you and him. He carries on, you also try to say something. Until at the bottom of page 9, you say, Honorable Mr. Matthias, please take your seat. That is not a point of order. Do you see at the bottom there?
Yes, I see.
So that's your third ruling on this issue at this point, right?
Yes, and if you check the earlier utterances by Honorable Matthias was that we cannot allow him to address this house.
You mean still here on page 9 where he says...
That's what I was responding to again, that is not a point of order. Please take your seat.
Well, Mr. Matiata in the middle says, and we cannot listen to him, and therefore cannot allow him to address this house.
Yes.
All right. So at the bottom you then say, take your seat, that's not a point of order, which is now your third ruling. Did he take his seat?
No, he did not.
What did he do?
He continued to speak.
And then we see this from page 10, that he in fact continues to speak until the top of page 11 is where he continues to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's where it ends, this round of him speaking in this handfast. Do you see that?
Which one do you want me?
On top of page 11. I'm just...
Okay, the point of order is that
he continued to speak as a
constitutional delinquent. So that is speaking. That is a speech that she was making.
Yeah. But even before we got to page 11, in page 10, the top of page 10 is his first entry is Mr. Ennis Matthias, and cannot allow him to address the top. And then it's you, where you say... can I respond to you? Can I respond to you? Please, honorable members, please be quiet. Honorable Matthias, you must raise a point of order. That thing is not a point of order. It's a point of debate. So this is another ruling from you.
Yes.
Your fourth ruling at this point.
I
on the
tell.
Same.
You can come here. Yes.
Did he accept this ruling?
No, he didn't.
He came out?
Yes.
And then what happened next?
He continued to speak, and I continued to ask him to try to stop him, until where I said to him, Honorable Matias, and now I'm asking you for the last time, take your seat or leave the house. Then there was a, and then I ordered the minister to continue.
Mr. Matias took his seat at that point?
No, he was still standing.
But he did not leave the house?
No.
So he and the minister were standing at the same time?
Yeah.
So we're now on page 11, and it records that Mrs. K.N.F. Shonyana said, on a point of order, House Chair, on a point of order, on a point of order. Do you see that?
Yes, I see.
So what did she say?
He said, on a point of order, House Chair, please rule. Yes. I don't know what she wanted me to rule on.
All right. But she then expresses her point of order on the next page, at the top of page 12. She then gets an opportunity to speak more fully about what she wants to say. Do you see that?
Okay. Yes, I can.
And part of what she said, starting from the middle of her paragraph, this man is not going to speak today. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen, and we're not going to leave the house. We're not leaving the house, and he's not going to speak today. He's not going to speak. What did you interpret, what did you make of that as the chair?
Chairperson, to me that was a threat.
To whom?
To me, listening and having to really listen to what members say, it was a threat to the minister and to the house itself, because this is a plenary, a mini plenary, where we are debating budget rules, and each budget vote is opened by the minister responsible for that department. So if you say this man is not going to speak today, then there won't be any proceedings for that day, because the expectation is that the minister should be the first to introduce the budget rules. That's why I am saying it was a threat to the minister, and it was a threat to the whole meeting and the proceedings of that meeting.
Yeah. So your response to her appears directly below that. It looks like at the beginning you are experiencing some, we're still on page 12. Are you on the same page? You're experiencing some microphone problems, but there's quite a lot of interjections. And then you do manage to say at the end of that paragraph, if you are not going to listen to the minister, you can go. We are not going to allow disruption. That is a disruption. What were you describing as a disruption?
Because there was the mere fact that you are saying to us, this man is not going to speak. You are disrupting the proceedings, because that's why we are there. And at the same time this member was speaking, it does not mean from the benches where he was, they were quiet. There were a lot of hands and a lot of talking that I could not actually hear. But that was charging for me to do what the member, I mean what the members wanted, that the minister should leave the house, should not speak. To me, you are disrupting the proceedings. So that is a disruption.
So your evidence is that it wasn't just only her, there were other voices going on.
And the others were, you know, hands were up and so on, but he was the one standing at the she was the one standing at the time.
Okay. And then another member stood up. We see on page 12, Mrs. R. N. Komane. What did she say?
She raised on a point of order. And when I asked her why she was rising, she told me she was rising on the same point of order that the Honorable Matthias had rose on. And he continued to tell us why they are in Parliament.
Mm. So she then speaks onto page 13 of the transcript, and somewhere just below the middle, you say after she's spoken, well, after she says we came here to protect the members, you say, Honourable Member, please take your seat. Do you see that? Page 13.
I'm on page 13 yet?
Yes, just after she's spoken, you say, Honourable Member, please take your seat. Do you see that?
I see the last part one.
Page 13.
Oh, yes, I can see that. Yes.
Just after her.
Yeah.
Did she take her seat?
She actually replied no.
She said no?
Yes.
And she carried on speaking?
She carried on speaking.
As this transcript reflects, she carried on speaking until about page 15, somewhere at the top. Do you see that?
Yes.
So again, it's another sort of to and fro where she's speaking, you're interjecting, That's what's reflected on page 14 up until page 15. And then on page 15 you say, whoever stands on the same matter will have to leave us in peace. Do you see that?
Yes, I do.
To the honourable members of the EFF, may I ask this question, is that what all of you are saying, that he will not speak? Thank you very much. All honourable members of the EFF, please leave the house. Do you see that?
Yes.
To which Mr. Matthias then objected and told you that what you were doing is unlawful, like unprocedural. We're not a group here, we're individual members, and I think what he's saying is that you must call us out by name. Was that a fair criticism to you?
It was.
Why do you say that?
Because when I asked them the question, the question I asked them, are you all saying that? In unison, they said yes. Unfortunately, I don't know why the handset could not capture that, but it was very loud. That is why you see me saying thank you very much. All honorable members of the House, of the EFF, please leave the House. Because that is a specific question that I asked all of them. And they replied in unison to the yes. Then I say yes, it is valid because the rules expect us to name each and every member. That is why after Honorable Matthias said that statement, I decided to revert back and follow what he has actually requested, that I name them one by one. And at that time, members were saying, name us behind. So I decided, yes, let me do it, because it wouldn't be impossible for me to do that.
So the record shows that you did indeed decide to do it, and you decided to start with Mr. Matthias.
Yes, because you were the one thinking at the time.
Yes, you then say, you know what, you're giving me a task. You said, Honorable Matthias, say, you know that you are giving me a task. I will start with you, Honorable Matthias. That's at the bottom of page 15, onto page 16. Honorable Matthias, are you saying that the Honorable Minister is not going to speak here? I need an answer. Tell us what you were intending to do with that.
Actually, I need an answer came after something happened. After I asked him the question, he did not respond to me. He walked from his chair and crossed the floor towards the minister who was on the podium. So as he was walking, I expected an answer, but as he was walking, I then said, I need an answer. So at that time, that's where the chaos started, because already, let me not go further, maybe I don't know, but at that time, because he left his chair and he was already on the, what do I call, the sacred floor. Because maybe to explain, this place, the rule says very clearly that you cannot cross.
Why is that? What is that rule about for somebody who
okay.
outside in Parliament?
Okay. What happens is once the maze is in the house, it means the proceedings of the house have started. And this place you cannot walk in. Even the members who are seated from where I am seated, they cannot move from here to go to the podium. They have to go via, so that they respect that place, because the house is in session. And remember, during the EPCs, the mini plenaries,
yes.
That they called them EPCs before we changed the name. We use different venues, and usually we don't take the maids to the house, but the symbolism is there. Once we start with the proceedings and we start with the moment of silence and whatever else, you might have seen it, that's how we start the meeting. It means there is that authority within that particular chamber of a mini plenary. I don't know what to call it in that house. So that's why I'm saying he crossed the floor, because the proceedings had started.
So when you saw him do that, what were you thinking? What did you make of that?
Ma'am, I was shocked. That's the first thing that came to me, because in my experience, that has never happened. And the fact that he did not respond to me when I asked him a question, which he requested that I do it, if I want to take him out, I must say, do it one by one. I started with him. I expected him to respond, and then I would say, leave the house, he would answer me another way that would lead me to ruling in a different way. But this time, he just walked towards the member on the podium. And because I have never seen that, and it's not allowed, firstly the crossing, then charging towards the member. We're not sure, because the threat had already been there, because they said he's not going to speak here today. So he's moving from the chair towards him, the minister. I'm not sure what's going to happen. So maybe the threat was unfolding. This is what we're going to do. And that I could not just wait. I had to immediately take a reaction to what was happening.
And you called the sergeant at arms?
I called the sergeant at arms.
But you didn't just call the sergeant at arms once. You called the sergeant at arms three times in rapid succession.
Yes,
why?
The fear and
quick, if there is going to be a charge, I'm not sure what was going to happen. I can't say they were going to beat him or they were going to stab him, which happens, we see in other parliaments, those things happen, but I was just afraid because of already there was a threat that said this man is not going to talk here to me. So I had to act in a way that the member on the podium, who is the minister at the time, be protected immediately. If there was anything that was going to come out as a result of the threat that was made before.
Because of course then there was a whole lot of other members who also joined. It wasn't just Mr. Matthias in very quick succession from the video.
It was a quick succession, but he was the first to go. And when I realized that the members were coming, were also coming, that's when I had called the sergeant at arms.
But then quickly after that you called parliamentary security. Why did you do that?
At that stage, the sergeant at arms, he wouldn't have happened because ideally, the sergeant of arms, when you, for instance, ask a member to leave the house, you would send the sergeant at arms to the member if the member refuses to leave the house. You would immediately do that. And the sergeant at arms would come back to me and report and say he says he's not going to leave the house. Then that is when I'm allowed now to call the protection services. But this one here, many members, they were not going to listen, and for the fear that I had for the minister sitting there looking at what was unfolding at that time, I even knocked for the secretary, what, table staff, I think it was Mr. Masham, who was assisting me on that day. I always call them my advisors, but they are the table staff, the secretary that sits there. So immediately I knocked and then he came to me and he said, he confirmed my fears that this, the sergeant at arms cannot handle. So that's why I immediately called for the protection unit.
So there were from the footage that we saw, there were other members from both the ruling party's side of the benches, which from the footage is this side where I'm sitting here today, and from the opposition party's side of the bench, which is where you are sitting, who also got onto the floor. What happened to those members? What you saw them from the footage. What did they do?
Those members?
Yes. The members such as Ms. Mazzoni, Mr. Stienhazen,
yes.
Kaya Makapa, I think it is, Boima Mabulu, who also stepped onto the floor.
Yes. Because I don't know why they came to the floor, but my thinking was there's danger here for our minister who has been told he cannot speak. And if you saw them, when I watched them, they were standing there and they were not interfering. They were just standing from this side, which is, I think it was the DA, the chief whip, and I don't know who others were there, but there were people. That side, yes, I saw Mr. Hukbako, who was standing. You know, it is human that we don't want fights here, but if somebody is going to be beaten, we are not going to stay. That was what came to my mind at that time, to say maybe they wanted to protect the minister. But at the same time, yes, I agree. They had also crossed the floor because they went to the floor.
Did they disrupt the proceedings?
Not at all.
So could the minister have delivered
the debate on vote 9 on that day with the affected members being present in the house. Could he have done it if they had not been removed from the house?
Obviously they said you won't.
And would you, in your capacity as chair, have been able to exercise your authority over the house if those members had not been removed?
I wouldn't have allowed them if they had continued in that way. They would have come, even if they had continued raising their hands without even checking at the minister, at the end of the day, that was a disruption because they did not allow the proceedings to continue. So obviously, I wouldn't have allowed them to do that. But if they wouldn't sit and listen, there was no any other way but to let them go out. But unfortunately, to do that, you have to do it one by one. Then things change. And when things change, they're already there, all of them charging. Then when protection services comes, it's removed.
So protection services came, they were removed. And then what happened after they left?
No, we went back to our work of the day.
Did the business of the day manage to continue?
It continued successfully.
And those other members from the ruling party and opposition who had...
They never said anything.
What happened to them? They went back to their seats.
They went back to their seats.
So, I'm thinking that in your tenure as a member of parliament, you've obviously witnessed quite a lot of disruption.
Yes,
that's right. Was there anything different about this particular disruption?
Yes.
What was special
to
about?
Charge at the member at the podium, to go directly to the member at the podium and disregard anything else that you said.
So you've said, I think, in your evidence that there was obviously a lot of noise for much of the time, a lot of people speaking at the same time, speaking over each other. And to some extent that's reflected in the Townsat recording, because there's gaps and interjections, is that correct? And it wouldn't be able to pick up that kind of interference, is that right? So obviously then after the incident, you did the report that is on page 197, asking the speaker to refer the incident to the subcommittee for consideration. Right. And did you, is that your, that was at the end
That's
of your interaction with the incident?
That's where it ended for me.
All right. I don't have any more questions.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you. House Chair, what will happen, House Chair, is that we will allow members, those who want to ask questions of clarity, we'll allow them 5 minutes to do so. We will... Is there, maybe let me just recognize the members, let me get their hands. Honorable Deputy Chief Whip of the Majority Party, Honorable Dorothy, and let's start with the Deputy Chief Whip.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Let me take this opportunity to thank Meboroto for your for being here and also giving us your side of the story. Meboroto, since you were in this position for the past 6 years and as the House Chairperson, who's also chairing the sittings of this House, I heard you say that it was for the first time that you experienced what you saw on that day, what was done by those honorable members. Let's say the Parliamentary Protection Services were not there at that time. What would have happened if they were not, if they didn't come at the time when you called them? Because my understanding is that this was not the only ETC, mini plenary that was sitting. If they didn't come, what would have happened? And what was going through your mind when the other honorable members from the ANC benches and on the DA side, because Honorable Steenhuisen and Honorable Mazzoni and the UDM Honorable Steve Swartz, who went towards the minister there, then do you think, I just want to hear your opinion in this regard. If the Parliamentary Protection Services have not arrived at that time, what would have happened between the members of Parliament? And how was this going to portray our Parliament? Because everything that we do in this Parliament is televised. It's for public consumption. What example were we going to set out there, given the fact that our constitution is hammering on a united, non-racial, non-democratic South Africa, narcissist and democratic South Africa, and also that we must be united at all times. And as honorable members, we what we portray out there to the public shouldn't be something that will incite violence to our society. So what would have happened if those, if the protesting services were not in the house at that time? I'm asking what would have happened between those who are there to protect the minister and those who are there to attack him. Thank you.
Let me start by saying it was good that we have protection services at Parliament here, yeah? Because what made me panic was I didn't see, actually, because there were many of the members there in front of the minister, and what I could hear was the minister saying, let them touch me, let them touch me. So I don't know what was happening there at the time when he was saying that. I couldn't see because others were on the side. But just saying those words, let them touch me, maybe there was somebody trying to touch him. I'm not sure. That I cannot guarantee on. But that in itself shows that there was that possibility that somebody was trying to reach to him and somebody was trying to protect him. Maybe that's why the minister was shouting, let them touch me, let them touch me. So, whether to say what our constitution says and everything, I must just say, really, that was something that would go very bad, especially as we are regarded as this parliament that makes laws, that makes sure that those who are doing things against the law get consequences for that. Now, for a minister to be charged and there is an attempt, there has been a threat, and now the minister is saying, don't touch me. So I don't think it would have ended well. Because I don't think the members of the ruling party and those of the other opposition that stood there not participating in actual fact standing there. My thinking is that they were going to say, if you touch him, we are here. That's my thinking. It might be a wrong opinion in this matter itself. But the way it happened there, that is the role that I saw of them at the time, that they were just going to protect. So if the protection services were not there, it would have been maybe trying to lift or whatever they would do to the minister. We don't know why the threat and what was the aim of saying he will not speak, what they intended to do for him not to speak. We don't know what they intended to do, but it wouldn't have been a good thing for this country.
Okay, thank you. Can we move to Honorable Dawson? Then Jefferson. How is the release? On page 310 of the bundle, the rule you spoke to earlier, rule 64 about the conduct of members.
Rule?
64. So, subsection D is being used to charge the honorable members concerned. So, they are charged for crossing the floor. They are charged in terms of this rule, which is D. A member should not, during proceedings, to pass between the chair and the member who is speaking.
Can you take me to
the so on the bundle, it's page 310.
I see that's written.
Number D.
Or G. That's what I want.
Yeah. So it speaks about crossing the floor.
Yeah.
Don't move, don't get in the aisle. So today, the people who have been charged are charged because they crossed the floor. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Maybe I can show it to you. On page one of the chart sheets, let me choose a member. On page 528 is the chart sheet of Mr. Makosonke Lang.
Yes.
I don't know if you know him, but if you look at chart number one on page 529,
yes,
you contravene section A of the Act when during proceedings you willfully failed or refused to obey rule 64D by crossing the floor of the house in front of the benches during proceedings. Such conduct improperly interfered with, impeded the exercise or performance of the house of its authority. So in a way, do you agree that anyone who crosses the floor, gets on the aisle, is breaking rule 64 subsection D?
Yes.
Okay. By that logic, didn't Natasha Mazoni cross the floor and get in the aisle?
Not only Natasha, also members.
I'm asking about Natasha.
Oh, okay. Yes, he did.
So she, by that logic, broke this rule.
Yes, she did.
Okay, thank you. Then, in the Hansard, which I always have to find, I think it's, so I'm using the page number of the bundle. It's called pagination, I think, now. Up there, so page 15.
Yes.
Yeah. You say all honorable members of the EFF please leave the house.
Yes.
You remember you saying that?
Yes, I do.
6 years is the house chairperson. Don't you know that this is wrong? If you do, why is it wrong?
I said it because they agreed that. When I asked them the question that are you all saying that, because everybody was standing, and I said I'm not going to allow any other member to stand up on the same point of order that Mr. Matthias had raised. And if that is the case, so that Mr. Matthias had raised, and they all say we are rising on a point of order raised by Matthias, then that is when it came to me to say, let me finish this thing of them coming one by one, because the sentiments were the same. They say, we're not going to allow him to speak. That's right. So when I said, I asked them, are you members, if somebody can help me where I said that.
Just about that sentence. You said, are you saying
that he will not speak? Yes. Let me start here. Let me just read the whole thing. Thank you, Honorable Komani. Thank you for sitting down. That's where I started. Whoever stands on the same matter will have to leave us in peace.
Mm-hmm.
Then there were interjections. To the honorable members of the EFF, may I ask this question? Is that what all of you are saying, that he will not speak? And, well, whatever they were saying is not here.
Interjections, I get it.
Yes, and that's when they said, yes, in unison, where I had them. That's why I said, I'm not sure how, why the Hansard could not capture that. But it happens when there is a lot of noise, that the Hansard doesn't capture everything. We have seen that before. So when I said, thank you very much, it was after they responded to me. Then if they respond to me in that way, I had to send them all out for that reason, that they were not going to allow the minister to speak. And that's why I called for them to leave the house.
You are not answering the question. Maybe I should repeat it.
Put it in a way that...
You said that earlier you were wrong for doing that. Agreed?
For doing what?
For saying all honorable members of the EFF leave the house.
I said after Matthias' intervention.
No, when they were interrogating you, you
yes.
said you realized that it was wrong for you to say that.
Yes, after Matthias intervened. If you see what Matthias is saying.
So you agree that was not in line with the rules, what you were doing there.
Because of the intervention of the Honorable Matthias, I decided to do it according to the rules. Although, what I had said before to me in unison, well, it's not allowed in the rules, but they all said it. So that's why, after Matthias' intervention, I decided to do it that way. The correct way.
Yeah, so this was the incorrect way.
It was not, in my opinion,
in your
totally
opinion.
Incorrect, looking at the context of why I said that.
Okay. So you think you were not wrong. I need to understand. You think saying all honorable members of the EFF leave the house, you're saying that is not wrong.
She did answer that question. She said... in the context of what was happening, she
was not
she was right.
Yes.
I just want to understand that.
Yes.
Okay, that's you stand by that?
Yes.
Okay. That's fine. So let's go to rule, what page is this now? Rule 31E. So I think on the bundle is 312. The rule says, maybe I should say, if the presiding officer is of the opinion that a contravention committed in terms of Rule 70 by a member of the House is of serious nature, that in order to leave the chamber for the remainder of the day sitting is inadequate, the presiding officer may, if he or she is not the speaker, name the member and order him or her to leave the chamber immediately.
Yes.
So, isn't it true that if you say all ESF members leave the house, you're not naming any members?
Honorable member, I gave you the context of why I said that.
Okay.
Because I tried and I abandoned it.
I think maybe it was. So now the two other things I want to converse quickly is in your report, section number nine.
Okay, it's fine.
I then proceeded to commence with the process of identifying each member being requested to leave the house by name, starting with Honorable Matthias. At this point, Honorable Matthias had proceeded to approach the Minister of Public Enterprises, who was standing at the podium. Do you agree that you never got the chance to actually name the members and order them to leave the house?
Yes, that was my starting point.
No, but you never actually did get the chance to name them and order them to leave the house.
Honorable member, I started with Honorable Matthias, and I was going to do that as the rules expect me to do.
Let me ask it differently, Mama. I will ask the question differently. I thought I could.
Now let it be quickly because you have exceeded your 5 minutes.
Okay. Did you ask Honorable Primrose Sondi to leave the house?
No.
Did you ask Honorable Kaya Kleza to leave the house?
No.
Honorable Madlingozi?
None of the other members, except when I said the members of the EFF must leave the house
after
I asked them a question and they responded.
Thank you. Last thing. Do you know that Section 17 of the Constitution guarantees the right to protest?
Where?
No, I'm saying, do you know that Section 17
I may not be familiar, but I know about protest
and
the court, but I'm asking where?
What do you mean where?
To protest where?
I'll read Section 17 for you.
Yes.
It says every...
Okay, there's an objection here.
I'm just inclined to do that. Permit this witness to be subjected to legal argument and legal submission, because it's not the time for that. It's a factual witness. And legal arguments are going to be made at an appropriate time.
Okay, but let's allow him. Although it's not in order, but go ahead, you know. We are not like in a legal setting, but that is a legal argument, but we're allowing it. We're allowing it, Honorable Clause.
Section 17 of the Constitution reads, everyone has the right, peacefully and unarmed, to assemble, to demonstrate, to picket, and to present petitions. That's a Bill of Rights. Do the rules of the National Assembly make a provision for a protest?
No.
Okay.
Not in the house. You can go outside and do your
protest. Do the rules say where you can protest?
The rules? No, they don't.
Please protect me. I'm intimidated.
The
okay.
rules that
no,
I'm using.
Just answer the last question.
The National Assembly, there's no way where they allow members to protest, especially in the chamber.
So you agree with me, the rules of the National Assembly do not make a provision for a protest, yes?
Yes, they do.
Okay. So...
In the House, let me specify that.
Yes, in the House.
Uh-huh.
Okay. When Honorable Matthias moved from his chair and arrived at the podium, did you see him do anything physical to the Honorable Godam?
No.
What did he do when he got there?
I don't know, but he was not allowed to be there in the first place. That's why I immediately just even disregarded him and started calling for the second at arm.
Okay. But
Honorable Godam, I was really patient. You know, we agreed on 5 minutes.
Okay.
5 minutes.
Okay, Chairperson, I know that it's very difficult, like, for people to take me. Honorable Boroto stood and asked a very long question. A huge preamble. And you have to be fair. All I'm saying is that I'm actually asking pointed questions.
Honorable Chris,
and I turned her, Honorable Chief, Deputy Chief Whip of the Majority. She took 7 minutes.
But now you are being unfair, Honorable Chris.
Okay, this will be my last question.
You yourself have said 5 minutes is fine.
Agreed. I just wanted to be treated fair. But here is my last question. Can you agree?
Already.
Okay, that's fine. I'm going to ask the last question.
Okay,
if honorable members of any kind contravened the rules and whatever, stood there and they say to you they were demonstrating, will they be within their constitutional rights, even if they are not within the rules?
I'm not going to respond to that because it has nothing to do with the rules that I know.
Okay, thank you.
Another response. Thank you.
That was the last. We do indulge Honorable Ndlozi, but please let's also respect what we have agreed on. If it's 5 minutes, let's stick to 5 minutes. Please. Okay, Honorable Bildas.
Thank you, Chairperson, and through you, good day, Honorable Mavroto. As Chairperson, someone who has about 6 years of experience as a presiding officer, what governs, in your view, proceedings in a house, be it the main assembly chamber or the main plenary?
Presently, we are using Edition 9 of the Rules of the National Assembly.
And thank you very much for that response. On page 12, there is Honorable KNF Konyana, first paragraph, saying this man is not going to speak today. It is not going to happen. It is not going to happen. We are not going to, and we are not going to leave this house. He says, this man is not going to speak. We're not going to leave the house. It is not going to happen. We're not going to leave the house. We are not leaving the house, emphasizing. And he is not going to speak today. He is not going to speak. In your view, what is that? And at this point, getting this particular threat, didn't you realize that you needed to do something about this activity?
Yes.
I want to, that's why I started with your experience in 6 years. Why did it take you so long to order members who were visibly violating or behaving as per Rule 69, which in terms of the rules it says grossly disorderly conduct, and an African father of Rurak Khadrah? Because it does indicate there that already at this particular time you were aware of this particular threat and the emphasis in that threat that this man, not even this minister, this man is not going to speak. And also this, that we are not going to leave the house. It's the royal we talking to, or is it the we referring to the number of members? Okay, Chairperson, I'll come after this one.
The question is, why did I take so long to remove Mamsonyane? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And those who, in terms of 69, were disorderly or conducting themselves in a disorderly way?
Well, at that time, the disorderliness to me was not something I could prove. The only thing is that what she had said, of course, it was wrong, but it was not gross misorder. And as an officer presiding, I have to exercise a lot of patience, because my aim is not just to chase up people away. I want, to take people to withdraw from the house, not to chase them. Sorry for using that. It's not my aim to let just people go out because they have had. That is why we even give opportunity for withdrawals or apologies at some time. My aim is to make sure that every member of this house is in the proceedings that are taking place. So I was a bit patient. And at that time, the disorder was not that gross, except that there were just too many points of orders at the time. Thank you.
Coming to the grossly disorderly conduct then, at the point, through you, Chairperson, that Honorable Matthias walked from his seat across the floor to the minister at the podium. Why did you not act at that particular time to call the sergeant at arms or the protection service? Because already at that time it was a violation of a 64D.
I think I did. When I asked him to respond to me, when I was starting to do the naming so that I can give a ruling for him, he didn't respond to me. He walked straight there. And that, to me, as the threats were made, I repeat, became something that was the, you know, what you call this, acting out the threat. This is what we meant when we said he's not going to speak, and we're going to go there physically and make sure he doesn't. And at that time is when I called the sergeant at arms.
Okay, Chairperson, my last one.
In the video that we watched with regard to the incident of the 11th of July 2019 at around 1643, between 1643 and 18, whatever time when the house adjourned, we saw quite a number of members on their feet, some of them even on the floor itself. Why did you not order all those members to take their seat at the time that you saw them on the floor? From Matthias, Honorable Matthias, to all those others, including those of the DA, Honorable Mazzoni, Honorable Finnes, and also Honorable Thierry, Honorable Papo, and many others that were on the floor. Why did you not order all of them to take their seats? Because as a presiding officer, you have had made a call. Initiator, if I can remember, the presiding officer made a call for protection service and the sergeant at arms first, then the protection service four times, I think, or more. And after doing that, because I would have believed that as a presiding officer, you do have the tools, or you had the tools at your disposal to be able to intervene in that situation. Why did you not call on all those other members to take their seats because the matter was under control?
Because already the matter was over my control at that time. And I had already asked for the sergeant had asked to do what she was expected to do.
Okay, I think that let's leave it at that. Already we've exceeded. And maybe a problem, members, because we are now exceeding the 5 minutes allocation. We know that we have to. It's a discretion that we've exercised to cross-examine the witness. We are not strictly according to the rules supposed to. So let's just stick to the 5 minutes that is there. If there's anything, I think the initiator will re-examine.
It's a point of clarity.
Point of clarity.
I'm very sorry if we stretched the 5 minutes. I was not aware that it was
okay.
5 minutes for my question plus the response. So I was timing my side.
Oh, sorry. All right.
Me too, as
you do. Okay. No, it's fine. Honorable Zeke, we're fine.
Just one question, Chair, because Honorable Deep was covered me on the issue of Honorable Shoyani. Honorable Boloto, I just want confirmation. Do you think that the incident that happened on the 11th July 2019 of the debate on the vote of public enterprise constitute a grossly disorderly conduct in your own view? Just want a confirmation of that. As it was confirmed by the leader of the opposition party, Honorable Stephen Hazen, the House Whip of the African National Congress, Honorable Peggy Khadere, the member of the IFP, Dadesing, the NFP Rep, Shaik, and the ACDP, Dadesort. Do you think that the incident constitute a grossly disorderly misconduct? Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Advocate Miles.
Chair, I have no questions in the re-examination. I have nothing to clarify with the witness.
Okay. All right, I think thank you very much, House Chair. You've really assisted us in doing our work in investigating what has happened on this day and in answering the questions that were put to you. You are excused. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson and Honorable Members.
Thank you. All right. Advocate Miles.
Yes. Chair, perhaps Ms. Ndaleka can fully explain where the next witness is detained. Apparently, he's...
All the way
kept. What is it that makes them unable to come at this time?
Who's the next witness?
It's the sergeant at arms on the day, Mr. Timelo.
At the meeting?
Maliana.
Yes, the house is starting at 2.
I think let's take
come now.
Okay. I think we will strictly manage time. The next witness has to be in the house by 2, so he must leave here at least by 1:45.
I ask that he may allow to leave at 1:30 to go and prepare.
1:30 is fine. We can take him for an hour. I'm going to be strict with the question, members. 5 minutes, Honorable Close. We know it's a discretionary issue, but I'm not supposed to be asking questions. So 5 minutes. We're timing.
Can I ask a question? Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
How many witnesses are still coming? Just for control.
Well, I also don't know, so let's allow the initiator to call the witnesses. Now, you can ask him, my man.
Okay. We just want to know if we are finishing today, you know what I mean?
I think let's work on finishing tomorrow. Let's work on finishing.
There's only one more witness, which is the next witness, and he's not going to be long at all.
So we can finish
it. In my view, if all goes well, he's coming in on a very limited involvement.
Right. We're going to finish today, and that's not just an effect. Yeah, no, I'm very happy with that. I don't want to interfere, you know, with the work of the initiator. But, yeah, now we have been clarified. No, we are adjourned. We are waiting for the next witness.
Are we taking them now?
Yeah, we'll take the surgeon and arms now.
So in this room, comrade, if I want to go to the bathroom during the session, there's no way of not looking in the eye. So in parliament, the chain, you can go to the bathroom without stepping on the eye.
Yeah.
Here you can't.
Yeah, but you can walk here.
But that's an eye. One that here, according to that rule,
there's no rule.
Let's say, for an example, if we go to Johannesburg and we hold a parliamentary meeting in a hall, we hold it under this rule, according to this rule.
Yeah.
But that room of crossing the floor can apply.
But what is here?
This food.